Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Arise, shine, your light has come. Isaiah calls out to a people in exile with a message of redemption and a message of the glory of God, a message of hope, a hope that's still present, still longed for some 600 years later as a light rises in the heavens. Matthew describes Magi from the east coming to Jerusalem in response to this light. Magi, who were perhaps the descendants or the disciples of the Magi, the wise men who Nebuchadnezzar called into his court to describe and interpret his dream. The ones who faced certain execution until a young prince from among the exiles of Judah, Daniel, is able to interpret the dream. This same Daniel who maintained the dietary customs of Judah in the court of Nebuchadnezzar. The same Daniel who would face a night in the lion's den for maintaining a habit of prayer 3 times a day. The same Daniel who was visited by the angel Gabriel as he prayed for the redemption of the people of God. Perhaps these Magi from the east knew of the rising of the king of the Jews because of the example and teaching that were brought to them from the exiles of Judah. Yet through the Magi, Matthew again draws our attention and our imagination back to the story of Israel, this time to the place of exile and the promise of salvation given through Isaiah and through Daniel. Matthew also points us forward, points us towards the last words that Jesus will say to his disciples on a hill outside of Galilee. As Jesus says to them, "All authority on heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." In our gospel story of the birth of Christ and the coming of the Magi, we see the authority of Christ over the heavens manifest in the star that announces his birth. The same creator who places the stars in the sky for signs and for seasons, for days and for years, announces the coming of Christ with the sign of a star. We see the clash of kingdoms that is and is to come as Herod hears from the Magi and is troubled. Even today we see that a ruler, according to the ways of this world, the kingdoms of this world, who holds authority by fear, coercion, and violence, When he is troubled, all the people are troubled with him. Herod, the one declared king of Judah, by a declaration of the Roman Senate, is challenged by Jesus, who is declared the true king of the Jews by even the stars in the heavens. And in a theme that will carry us through Matthew's gospel, those who should know and recognize God revealed in human flesh among them, the chief priests and the scribes, do not recognize him. Even when they interpret the scriptures correctly and know that the Christ is to be born in Bethlehem, they're unable to set aside the status quo and be transformed. They would rather wallow in darkness than arise and shine when the light has come. It's the former oppressors, the inheritors of the empires of Babylon and Persia, that recognize the authority of Jesus. Perhaps in them, we can gain a bit of insight into what Jesus means when he commands us to make disciples among all the nations. Daniel offers us the first lesson in what it means to make disciples among the people of the nations by remaining faithful to the ways of God in exile, by humbly offering the wisdom of God to those who have not seen him, and interceding always for the people of God, even from exile. Paul will give us the same example of a disciple as he writes from prison to the young churches of the world. Peter encourages the faithful of the diaspora, the Jews of exile, who are among all the peoples of the world, when he writes his letters. The way of the disciple is the way of faithful witness. From the Magi, we can take this lesson on the behavior of a disciple. We first hear that when they come and they see the star and it comes to rest over the house where Jesus is with Mary and with Joseph, they rejoice with great joy. They have traveled for as long as 2 years with great anticipation. They've given up and left their homes to make this great journey. The longing that they have experienced is about to come to fulfillment. Indeed, the way of the disciple is the way of joy. And as the Magi enter the house and come into the presence of Jesus, they fall down and they worship. In the presence of Christ, their earthly status and wisdom is as nothing. These are the ones who walked into the court of Herod as equals. And they come as supplicants into the presence of the true king. They offer worship. It's not the manipulative, political, quasi-religious maneuvering that we see in Herod's offer to worship, or in the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the priests and the scribes, who have eyes that do not see, ears that do not hear, and a heart that is turned from God. In the Magi, we see this all-out worship in the presence of the glory of God. The way of the disciple is the way of worship. Then the Magi gives gifts. They give the gift of gold for the king, the gift of incense for the priest, and the myrrh that foretells the defeat of sin and death on the cross. The Magi acknowledges, Thomas will acknowledge, when the risen Lord comes and says, "Put your fingers in these holes, put your hand in my side." And Thomas declares, "My Lord and my God." The way of the disciple recognizes Jesus as king and priest and sacrifice in the kingdom of heaven. Then the Magi are warned in a dream to depart from the treachery of Herod. They've come into the presence of God with worship and understanding, and they're able to hear the warning, and they're willing to obey. The way of the disciple is the way of discernment and obedience. So as we look at the way of the disciple, the way of faithful witness, the way of joy, the way of worship, the way of the kingdom, the way of discernment and obedience, we should also look and ask, what is the result of walking in this way? What is the result of our disciple making? We turn to Paul, the portion of Ephesians that we read today. And we see that as we are made disciples, as we are baptized into the kingdom of God, as we are changed, we become fellow heirs and partakers of the promise of Christ. And as we are made disciples and formed into the church, we're not only a witness to the people around us, but a witness to the glory and dominion of God in the heavenly places, among the powers and authorities in the spiritual world. So, as we come together today at this table to encounter Christ in the body and the blood, we come with joy and with worship. So we come to acknowledge Jesus as our King, our priest, and the sacrifice that gives us life. As we come with our gifts and with our very lives, we bear witness. We bear witness as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We bear witness with the angels and the archangels, with all the company of heaven. We bear witness as the body of Christ, the church. We bear witness against the spiritual forces of darkness. We bear witness against hate and fear and violence. We bear witness against the jealousy, defeat, and envy that threaten to tear the church apart. We bear witness to the light that shines in the darkness. We bear witness to the love that overcomes all. We bear witness to the peace that surpasses all understanding. My friends, we bear witness to the victory of Christ and to the glory of the Lord that has indeed risen upon us. And then, as we're sent out into the world, as we go about among the people in our lives, we bear witness to that light as we remain faithful to the ways of God, as we humbly offer the wisdom of God, and as we intercede for the people of God. We go out with discernment and obedience to do the works that God has given us to do, to love and serve Him as faithful witnesses. We go and we are sent out as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. So, I charge you today as we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany, arise, shine, indeed your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.